الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن حجة لك أو عليك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected ulama-i-kiram, hufaz of the Qur'an-i-Kareem, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month of Ramadan, as we have been hearing, we will be hearing, and we all know, most of us must be hafiz of the ayat already also, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instituted, had made incumbent on each one of us to fast in the month of Ramadan. The objective being to attain Allah consciousness so that a person becomes totally aware of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at every given moment of his life. That's why Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh said, for 20 years, never spoke anything, nor did I do anything, except after contemplating and thinking to myself, in this, does the pleasure of Allah lie or not? Because I understood that everything will be accountable in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So whatever I have to say or do has to be done only and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first ashara which is coming to completion, we need to ask ourselves in this first ashara, the first 10 days, how far have I gone in attaining this quality of Allah consciousness? It's nothing major and difficult. It's just that at every moment to understand that my Allah is watching me. What am I doing? Is it going to earn the pleasure or the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala? That is taqwa, as simple as that. So we need to question ourselves, how far have I gone in attaining this quality of Allah consciousness in 10 days? Because this is the objective of the month of Ramadan. If someone has to see and say, you know what, shukar alhamdulillah, at least one khatam of the Quran in the Taraweeh has been done. Alhamdulillah. But the objective of Ramadan, which is taqwa, have you attained that? A person can say that, alhamdulillah, shukr man, in this 10 days already I lost 5 kilos. I'm really worried about, you know, all these sweet things. No, no sweet things. Khajur only have one. And that too, I have the special one. And that, and no desserts after the Taraweeh Salah. So shukr, Allah, everything is under control. Then that is not the objective of the month of Ramadan. It's to attain Allah consciousness, this quality of taqwa. For example, a person has to send his son who's in matric to school, especially nowadays, and grade 12 as we know it, or matric. And with the prices of fees nowadays, sometimes 25,000, 35,000 rand for the year, just for matric. That too, when we were in school, I mean, others will laugh at what I'm saying. I'm still very young in front of many of you. In standard 9, we paid 300 rand school fees. In metric, they told us that it's going to go up 750. So everyone said, what? So much? 750 rand? So expensive. Now it's 25, 30,000 rand. Anyway, the school, the student goes to school, your son, or he goes to school, he comes back at the end of the year, and you ask him that, mashallah, end of the metric year, where's the results? You want to see your results. And then he brings all his trophies. He says, Baba, I got my colors, my Natal colors for cricket. I played for the South African team for soccer. And I played for the school. I represented the school in tennis. And he brings all his trophies, all his certificates, and all his medals, everything. Wahwa, son, very good what you have done. MashaAllah. But let me see your report. He says, no, Papa, you understand I did well in school, son. He says, no, where's your report? So he brings the report. And he's failed in his report. Most of his subjects, he has failed most of his subjects. Now you spend 30,000 rand for him to go to school, to get his trophies and natal colors, or for him to progress academically. For him to get a good pass rate, good mark, percentage, for him to go to university, for him to study further, for him to progress. That's the reason you send him to school. Oh son, oh beta, if you wanted your colors, I would have sent you to the Natal Cricket Academy. Go and get your colors and play for Natal. You don't have to go to school for that. Play for one of the local teams. You'll reach yourself. You'll get high there, inshallah. But now he goes to school and he doesn't progress in school. So imagine we come out of the month of Ramadan. Everything is attained. The Hafiz of the Quran even says, shukr. My Quran is pakka in Ramadan. Shukr, alhamdulillah. And the level of taqwa after that, and you search for it to even see whether he's a Hafiz al-Quran after the month of Ramadan. So have you attained that quality of taqwa? That's the question. This is why the spiritual workshop that we are going through, the spiritual workshop of the month of Ramadan, is to knock off all those dents and to make sure that after the month of Ramadan, we are ready for the challenges out there. That today we are leaving out that which is halal. Tomorrow after the day of Eid, we will be ready to leave out that which is haram. That's the quality of taqwa. Now the question, the $1 million question is, taqwa, taqwa and taqwa. How do I get this quality of taqwa into myself? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the reason and the objective of this month of Ramadan is la'allakum tattaqoon. But how are you going to get this quality of taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the most instrumental tool and the most quickest and easiest and the shortcut for you to attain this taqwa is the means and the recipe that Allah has given us. In the opening verses of Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That this Qur'an-i Kareem that we have revealed, there's no doubt at all in it. There's no doubt, no shadow of doubt in it. And this Qur'an is هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a means of guidance for those that want to attain this quality of taqwa. Those that are seeking taqwa, then understand the message of your Allah, you will get to your destination of attaining this quality of taqwa. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the revelation of the Qur'an-i Kareem, in once from Lawhi Mahfuz to Sama'ud Dunya, to the skies of the earth, took place in Ramadan. The one revelation of the entire Quran in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the revelation of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Why? This is a means of us attaining the objective of the month of Ramadan, which is taqwa. This is what is, how we're going to attain it. Via the Quran-i Kareem. Unfortunately, nowadays, the Quran has been reduced to just some beautiful voice. It's just like another nasheed or nazam CD in our cars or in our homes. That we look for the most sweetest voice. If it's a sweet voice, yeah, play this one. This one sounds very nice. Alhamdulillah. Yes, the voice will attract, but just your attention. But that which will impact on the heart, that will impress and leave a message on the heart, is the message of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It's the meaning of the Quran-i Kareem. That will impress the heart. That will be able to change the direction of our sails. That now we can focus towards Akhirah, towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is the message of the Quran-i Kareem. Sometimes we reduce Quran to even just barakat. The people will be talking, munching away on the walima table, and the kari sahab will say, inshallah we will have kari sahab to recite one kirat. Why? Just to have some barakat in the proceedings. And the entire thing is against the sunnah. So for barakat, Quran is for barakat. Allah says, Hudan lil muttaqeen. Quran is a means of guidance for those that are seeking taqwa. Barakat will come. The actual thing is for the hidayat, is for guidance for each one of us, our hidayat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of us can ask ourselves, that so much has been recited in the Taraweeh Salah. How much of Quran we each have been reciting, alhamdulillah. A lot of Quran we have been reciting. But how much have I gone closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much of qurb and closeness have I attained in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much of the mahabbat and the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah has filled into my heart? How much of that has come? Why is the verses of the Quran in Arabic called ayah? Why are they called ayat and ayah? Because an ayah is a sign. An ayah is a sign. If a person is traveling from Durban to Joburg, or he needs to go from here to Pietermaritzburg, he doesn't know how to go, you will tell him to follow the, you'll give him directions from here to the highway. After that, you follow the signboards. You follow the boards, you'll get to your destination. Each board will take you closer to your destination. This is exactly the Quran-e-Kareem. Every verse, every ayah, supposed to be directing us closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If I have recited, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, how much closer has this one verse taken me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The entire surah Fatiha we recited, we all know it of Bahad, we recited again and again in every salah, in every rakat. How much have I attained the closest of Allah via this one surah? Have I understood the message of my Allah in surah Fatiha at least? At least surah Fatiha? In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this has been narrated and recorded in the book of Ma'rifatu Sahaba. Abu Ya'la says that Balagha Akthar bin Sayf radiallahu anhu makhraju Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'arada ayatiyahu. Akthar bin Sayf, who was not yet a Muslim but a leader of his community and his area, the news of the Nubuwat and the prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him. He got wind of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaiming prophethood. So he decided of embarking on going on a journey and to get some clarity on the issue that what is this prophet, who is he, what is his lineage, his background, what is he calling to, what is his da'wah and invitation all about, what's his invitation. So anyway, his nation told him, listen, his people and his community, you're not going to go. You stay here, you're the leader, we will do this for you. So anyway, he appointed two representative, two delegates, and they come. They come in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these two messengers come and they say, Ya Rasulallah, nahnu rusulu Akthar bin Sayfi. We are the two messengers of Akthar bin Sayfi. He's our leader, well known, you know him. Anyway, he wants to have some clarity on the issue that you're claiming prophethood. So he's got only two questions. Only two questions. Man anta wa ma anta. Number one, who are you? And number two, what are you? Who are you and what are you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, however, the question regarding man anta, who are you? Ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Simple. I am just Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. That is the introduction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Humble, humility. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Understood? Ma anta, what are you? What have you come with? What's your mission? What's your objective in life? What is the underlining factor for you being sent as a prophet? What's your invitation to? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what I am, ma anta, ana abdullahi wa rasuluh. I am the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is my portfolio. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited one ayah. And he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. One ayat. This person says, أُرْدُدُهُ عَلَيْنَا. Please repeat. What are you reading? We understand Arabic. The eloquence of it, we masters. You talk about the intricacies of the language, no problem, we understand. But we don't understand what you just recited. Repeat, repeat, please. فَرَدَّدَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Nabi Sam repeated this one verse again and again. حَتَّى حَفِظُوهُ. These messengers by-hearted it. Now they come back to Akthar bin Sayfi, the leader. He says, okay, مَنْ أَنْتَ. What did he say? He says, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. His name is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. مَا أَنْتَ. What is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Not a long bayan. Nabi Sassam recited one verse as an introduction and as a capsule to encapsulate what is his da'wah all about. One verse. And Aktham bin Saifi addresses his nation and he says, Inni arahu ya'muru bi makarim al akhlaq wa yanha an mala'imha fakunu fi hadha al amri ru'usan wa la takunu adhnaban. He says, oh my people, I see that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is inviting to good and forbidding from evil. I think so we need to become the forerunners and the pace setters in this mission of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. One verse he becomes a Muslim. Today if the ummah has to be asked, as one alim says, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli, ask the ummah, what is this verse? What have you understood? What does it mean? That the second khutbah is coming to an end. Just now the namaz is going to stand up. Wake up. Knock the person next to you. Namaz is going to start by. Quickly get ready. That's Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli. What have we understood in this message of the Quran Kareem? When we recite the Quran, Allah is talking to us. Allah is giving us a message. This message has impact, has left imprints on the hearts of many, has imprinted message on the hearts of many of the past. Like never any book of the past. Riwayat comes in Bukhari Sharif. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, and he says, that kana Abu Talhata radiallahu anhu, أكثر الأنصار بالمدينة مالا. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu al Ansari radiallahu anhu. Abu Talha al Ansari was one of the most elite, most rich, high ranking Sahaba among the Ansari in Medina Munawwara. وكان أحب أمواله إليه بيرحة. And his most beloved piece and asset and property was that of بيرحة. وكانت مستقبلة المسجد. That was adjacent to the Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He had his house and his property right next to the Masjid. Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one day he recites the Quran and he comes across one ayat of the Quran Kareem. And immediately he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This land of Bayraha, this was prime property. This had sweet water in it. Nabi Sam used to enter. Nabi Sam used to drink from the water. The Ansar and the Sahaba used to enjoy this garden of Bayraha, of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. They all enjoyed it. And this was prime property right next to the Masjid. Right next to the Masjid. So anyway, he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Inna Allah ta'ala yaqulu fi kitabi. He says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has said and He has given me a message in the Quran. Allah has spoken to me in the Quran Kareem. Allah just informed me what I should be doing in the Quran Kareem. What? So he recites the verse to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lan tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that ummah, you will never be able to reach to the height and to the peak of piety until you do not spend from that which is most beloved to you. And he tells, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَانَ أَحَبَّ أَمْوَالِي إِلَيَّ بَيْرَحَا. And the most beloved piece of asset and the most beloved property to me is Bayraha, which is adjacent to the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ لِلَّهِ أَرْجُو بِرَّهَا وَزُخْرَهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَضَعْهَا حَيْسُ شِئْتَ. Ya Rasulullah, Allah is asking me to spend. He's asking me to spend my choices. Take this property. Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, you spend it wherever you want, in whichever avenue, however you want to spend. Allah is making my tashkil. How can I say no? Take it and take this, take it away and spend it in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One ayat. Lan tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiku mimma tuhibbun. And what does the ummah know about lantana? Nowadays, if the rakat is too long, we say, but he's reading his lantanas in his tarawih. So long story he's reading. That's all. Lantanalu al-birra. This is the ayat. It stirred up the hearts of the people of the past. Fudail bin Ayaz, rahmatul alay, very pious person. Ulama always speak about him and quote the statements of Fudail bin Ayaz, rahmatul alay. Fudail bin Ayaz, rahmatul alay, what was the turning point in his life? That kana qati'an yaqta'u tariq, he was a highway robber of his time. But wa kana sababu tawbatihi, what led to him turning a leaf in life and turning for the better and facing and focusing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? The reason for tawbah, annahu ashiqa jariyatan, fabaynama huwa yartaqil judaran, idh sami'a taliyan yatlu.
that he was infatuated. He was blindly in love with a certain girl. So one day he was scaling the fences and the walls of the neighbors, trying to get to his beloved, illicit beloved, trying to get to her house. As he's climbing the fence and the different walls of the neighbors, and he hears suddenly a voice when someone is reciting the Qur'an Kareem.
أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ
Has the time not come for the believers to submit themselves before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to become subservient to the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Allah is asking the question, has the time not come? Fudail bin Ayaz immediately he understands and he says, my Allah is talking to me. He's asking me, has the time not come? And immediately he replies, he says, Bala ya Rab qad an. Oh my Allah, most definitely the time has come. I'm turning my life for the better, ya Allah. I'm making tawbah. And that was the tawbah in his life. One ayat of the Quran Kareem. Ja'far al-Sadiq, this has Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has recorded this incident. Ja'far al-Sadiq was a very pious person in the lineage of Ali radiallahu anhu, one of the descendants of Ali radiallahu anhu, from the lineage of Ali, one of the descendants. He was a pious person. He was no imam as certain sects deviated belief. But we believe that he was a very pious person. After Nabi Sallam, there was no prophet. There were many pious people. There were sahabas, khulafai rashidin, etc. Be as it may, Ja'far al-Sadiq, he had a slave. The slave one day was bringing some water and was bringing some things, some food, and he was serving. He was the slave of Ja'far al-Sadiq and he was serving his master Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahmatullah alayh. As he is walking and coming, he slips, miscalculates a step. He falls, he trips, he falls. Some water spills and that water and the juice or whatever it was, some liquid, it went onto the clothing and onto the body of Ja'far al-Sadiq. فَنَظَرَ جَعْفَرُ إِلَيْهِ نَظْرَةً مُنْكِرَةً Ja'far al-Sadiq gave him one stern look, one stiff look. He looked at him. What on earth have you done to me? You're my servant. Look what you have done. You messed me, etc. Just looked at him. And this slave, he turns at Ja'far al-Sadiq and he says, Ya Mawlaya. He says, oh my master. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses those that have the quality of taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what are the salient qualities of those that have taqwa? We want to attain this quality of taqwa. What are the qualities and the signs that we're getting there, inshallah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a sign of a muttaqi, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ Those that swallow their anger. Those that swallow their anger. He recited this ayat. And immediately Ja'far al-Sadiq tells his master, كَظَمْتُ غَيْظِي And he smiles. He says, I've swallowed my anger. And he smiled. Because my Allah is addressing me in this ayat. The slave doesn't stop here. Carries on with the ayat. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ Another quality of the muttaqeen. And those that overlook the mistakes of others. He addresses his servant. He says, أَفَوْتُ عَنْكَ I have forgiven you. The servant doesn't stop there. He continues till the end of the ayat. He says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah loves those that do good. He says, أَنْتَ حُرٌّ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ You are free for the sake of Allah. Not only that, you take 20,000 dirhams and you go. 20,000 silver coins and you go. Because Allah is addressing me, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ So this is the message of the Qur'an Kareem. This is the impact that it has left on the hearts of many of the past. What we need to understand nowadays in the month of Ramadan, this is something of Islah that we need to understand. Our Ustad used to tell us. Nowadays, if example someone gets angry, example two brothers in one shop, two brothers in the shop. One brother gets angry and he scolds another, the employee. So after that, the other brother will go and tell the employee, hey, please forgive me, he's fasting. Na'udhu billah. How can we say that? So fast made him get angry? Na'udhu billah. The fast is for you not to get angry. Not to make you angry. And nowadays a person will even pride on it and say, Bhai, I'm fasting, don't trouble me. You know, I can get very angry. That's not how we're supposed to be speaking. This fast is for us not to be getting angry. And you're a person, when he gets angry after that to make up for his mistake, you say, please, why? Make me mafia. I'm sorry, I was fasting yesterday. So your fast made you angry. When last did we tell a person, why, please make him maf for him not paying his, for him not paying his debt to you because he performed salah? Na'udhu billah. Did a person ever say something like that? What did fast do? Fast is for taqwa. Fast is to bring good qualities. It's his fault he did something wrong and he's getting angry. The Arabic proverb that al-ghadabu badrun nadam. What is anger? It's the seed of regret. You get angry today and tomorrow you have to say sorry. You're going to get angry today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each one of us. Especially in this month of Ramadan. You go home and something is not ready on time. Especially the huffaz or those that are performing. Listen, I only got 1 hour. My stomach has to work and I have to be in the masjid so many times. I have to learn my door, etc. Why is the food not ready? No. We're not supposed to be behaving like this. This is the month for us to inculcate within ourselves good qualities. So we need to understand the message of the Qur'an-e-Kareem. We need to understand the message of the Qur'an-e-Kareem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take out all these bad qualities. All these bad qualities. We find that Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him such a high maqam. Why? He respected and he gave reverence and honor to one verse of the Qur'an. One page. He was in a state of intoxication. Famous, we all know. State of intoxication, he passes by one ayat of the Quran, one page, and he sees that this is the ayat of the Quran. He picks it up and he, with respect, he puts it on the top of the shelf. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had changed his life for the better. One day, the sister of Bishr Hafi, rahmatullah alayh, she comes to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and tells Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that sometimes I am sitting on my rooftop late at night. And I am spinning cotton, I'm making something, I'm knitting away. And while I'm knitting, sometimes the officials pass by. When they pass by, the bright lights that they are shining onto the high, tall buildings, the reflection of that gets to me and I quickly sew extra. Is it permissible for me to utilize that light to sew extra in that time? For us, but we don't understand what this doesn't make sense to us. Our level of taqwa is not there. So she comes and she asks this question to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, oh my sister, please, can you please tell me who are you first? She says, Ukhtu Bishr. I am the sister of Bishr Hafi. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, Min baytikum yakhruju hadha al-war'u sadiq. Such honor and such quality of taqwa can only come out from that house. Only from that house. What was the turning point? Respect to one ayat of the Quran-e-Kareem. One ayat of the Quran-e-Kareem. Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia of Johannesburg, his father was 106 years of age. 106. Maulana Yunus Daya mentioned this recently in one of the programs. So that is the chain of narrators. I never met him. So I'm narrating what he is saying. That Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia's father, at the age of 106, he could read the newspaper fine writing without any spectacles. He could read the small writing Quran-e-Kareem without glasses. So someone asked him, why at this age, ripe old age and this so good eyesight you got? He says, when I recite the Quran-e-Kareem, then I make intention. I make intention. Oh Allah, the strength of your speech, put that strength into my eye. That's the intention that he makes. This is the Quran. Shifa for everything. Shifa'u lima fi sudur. Wa huda wa rahma. This is rahmat and barakat and hidayat and guidance. This is the Quran-e-Kareem that we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to recite a lot of the Quran-e-Kareem. To hold the Quran-e-Kareem to our hearts. To have respect for the Quran-e-Kareem. To honor the Quran-e-Kareem. To understand the message of my Allah. Because when we go to Allah, we have to understand the message of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each one of us to love the Quran-e-Kareem and make us from Ahlul Quran. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.